corazones. Me abres el pecho siempre que me colmas de amores, de amores, eternamente de amores. Si alguna vez me siento derrotado, renuncio a ver el sol cada mañana, rezando el credo que me has enseñado. Miro a tu cara y digo en la ventana,
this is Freeform Radio, WFMU in East Orange, WMFU in Mount Hope, in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, worldwide online at WFMU.org. My name is Scott. I'll see you next week. Do stay tuned. Mark Hurst is next. Tectonic is on it.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Tectonic. My name is Mark Hurst, I'll be your host for the next hour or so. Thanks so much for joining, appreciate you spending an hour with me and with Tectonic. Before I go any further, I just want to say thanks to the listeners and the volunteers and everybody who helped make our 2026 fundraising marathon a success, a big success. We made our goal last night, thanks to you. And that goes out to the listeners, the volunteers, the cooks, the engineers, everybody who helped out in some way during the marathon and or made pledges. And speaking of the pledges, if you made an unpaid pledge during the marathon, you'll get an e-bill or a paper bill from WFMU soon. And then we're going to start mailing swag pretty soon as well. If you still want to make a pledge, you can do so online at wfmu.org/pledge. But mainly I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who gave of their time, their talent, their money, everything to make the marathon a success. Now, this week I wanted to give you some good news because we need a break from the dystopian news that's out there, the predatory platforms from Silicon Valley, the billionaires who are aiding daily in the spread of the surveillance state. And so it's important for us, I feel, that we get a reminder every once in a while on this show that there are, in fact, good people and good projects out there that are engaging with technology in positive and healthy ways. And hence, today's episode is good news in that way. I'm going to be talking about Repair Cafe El Barrio. And you're going to hear all about what that means and who's there and what they're doing. But just as a preface, I'll say that it's called a repair cafe. If you don't know anything about repair cafes, the first thing you should know is it's not actually a cafe. It's not people sitting around, you know, drinking coffee or whatever. That's the name of the gathering is Repair Cafe, the name of a global movement, as you'll learn. It's more like a repair community gathering. But Repair Cafe is just more fun to say. So, but you'll hear this gathering at the Repair Cafe is about more than just repairing items, although there are items being repaired by so-called repair coaches who are experts in the kind of item being repaired. You'll hear about it. And it's, as I said, it's a movement. It's a worldwide movement started in the Netherlands. But Repair Cafe El Barrio is in New York City. So not long ago, I visited Repair Cafe El Barrio along with Todd Mazursky, who recorded and edited and produced the segment we're about to hear about the visit. And so thanks to Todd for that. And before I play it, just a note on geography for listeners who maybe aren't familiar with New York City. El Barrio, or El Barrio, is a neighborhood of Manhattan that's also called East Harlem or Spanish Harlem. And if you do know Manhattan, I can tell you Repair Cafe El Barrio is on East 99th Street, and it meets once a month on Sunday morning. And if you want links to Repair Cafe El Barrio and or the global movement, you can go to the links on the Tectonic website at tectonic.fm, T-E-C-H, tonic.fm, and then just click into the show for Repair Cafe El Barrio. Let's go ahead now and listen to this audio segment that features field recording from my visit to Repair Cafe El Barrio here on Tectonic. I recently visited Repair Cafe El Barrio, located in the Manhattan neighborhood of East Harlem. The Repair Cafe movement started in the Netherlands. It has spread all over the world. But this one, Repair Cafe El Barrio, was the first to launch in New York City. The arrangement is simple. People from the community bring in household items to be fixed, and volunteers, known as repair coaches, fix those items, or try to fix them, right there on the spot. And it's all free. Soon after I arrived, the room filled up with people holding items to be repaired, and some of them were already sitting down with a repair coach getting their items fixed. I asked some of the guests about their objects.
I brought in a family heirloom. It was a lamp. The base of the lamp had a rubber piece and it crumbled. I brought this lamp to places where they repair lamps, and they told me it couldn't be repaired. It was better if I just buy a new one. just because it's not a $10,000 Tiffany lamp doesn't mean it doesn't have value. So other people have told me how wonderful this place is and give it a try. So I looked it up and I sent in the information.
I have a basement full with stuff that doesn't work. And so I took the one that to me is the most precious, is the drone.
A drone?
Yes, a drone. I brought it about a month ago. Maybe a little bit hesitating because a drone is kind of a big thing to fix. And the team came together and they found out what the problem was the camera. So I ordered the camera and came about a week ago. So I took advantage of this second session.
Our toaster wasn't working, and instead of chucking it out, we wanted to use what we had because it's a good one.
I'm looking for a Q-tip to clean the electromagnet, which is how a toaster actually stays down when you push it down.
The repair coaches were seated around the room at tables, most of which were full of tools. Each coach seemed to specialize in a different kind of appliance or gadget or even clothing. I asked some of the coaches what sort of things people typically bring in.
On a good day, we do 30 repairs.
We've fixed iPods.
Toasters, vacuum cleaners, hand blenders.
A very new cassette player.
CD players, lots of clothing, lots of jeans.
Things with dead batteries, things with corroded battery terminals. If you don't know what that means, you just take a little sandpaper and rub it on the terminal because the battery acid has leaked onto the terminal, which makes the connection bad.
That last voice you heard was Alex Stein, one of the repair coaches. He explained how some of the repairs are fairly simple and have the benefit of keeping the object out of the landfill.
I had someone come in with like a clock. One of the hands had bent. They really wanted me to fix it. Took a plier. Actually used my hand. Bent the hand back. Replace the battery.
And that was it?
That was it.
Alec told me what it's like working with other repair coaches.
I think we're kind of like a baseball team. We have like people who sew. We have people who do electronics. I'm kind of like the pinch hitter who comes in and just tries to get people moving when they're stuck. So I'm kind of like the third best at a lot of things. My background is in physics. I did a little bit of research in dark matter and a little bit of research in viruses. I still think about the world like a scientist. A lot of times when I open something up, I'm figuring it out for the first time from basic principles. I can identify a resistor. I know what a battery looks like, but a lot of it for me is just tinkering, which sometimes is a disadvantage, but then other times I'm really able to definitively be like, no, that is not the problem. And I know that because I know Ohm's law or I know Ampere's law or something like that.
And if somebody comes in with a lamp and they say, this thing is full of dark matter, you would know just what to do.
I would take that thing to CERN right away. On the double, Nobel Prize. Why do people come in here? Is it because they can't afford to replace their $7 tea strainer? It costs $7 to get here on the train. They come here because it upsets them that they have to throw it away. And what we give them is the relief of being able to keep the thing. We save them from that frustration. The number one thing that the Repair Cafe is about to me is the good feeling. The good feeling that we get from saving something that really shouldn't have to be thrown away. It's the good feeling you get from teaching something to someone, because teaching is really fun. And it's the feeling that you get from discovering how something works, like opening up a hand mixer and being like, oh, it's not actually that complicated at all. The hardest part was getting it open. The feeling of learning something new as a group, that's fun. It's like being in an escape room. So when people leave the Repair Cafe, unless we break their thing, which sometimes happens, usually they leave really happy. And I always leave really happy. We probably save around 50 pounds of trash and $1,000 to $2,000 worth of stuff. So that's meaningful, right? That's like $25,000 a year in community benefit. And like, there's a reasonable amount of waste, maybe like a garbage can every time, but it's like a drop in the bucket. What I think we're doing is, I don't want to say something like starting a conversation, because I think the conversation's already been started. It's more like the beginning of a real cultural movement against corporate trash, planned obsolescence, garbage in general. It's also against loneliness and a lack of a feeling of a lack of purpose. I think we've had 10 different nascent repair cafes call us, like schools, communities, like nonprofits that want to start their own repair cafes.
In the New York area?
In the New York area.
Really?
Yeah. Just in the last like 6 months.
Talking with the repair coaches and the people they're helping, you get a sense that this is a special place. There's a ton of positive energy in the room, and a lot of it is coming from one person. Rocio Salceda is the founder of Repair Cafe El Barrio.
I'm a little bit like the coordinator, DJ, host, give everybody a hug. I try to keep things flowing. I don't want anybody to be waiting.
I asked Rocio what it was like starting the Repair Cafe.
I started it in September 2022. I was just myself and a sewing machine and the space that you guys just saw, which is a large gallery. There was a lot of echo. And there was a lot of echo for a very long time until it became what you saw today, which is a very vibrant community with a lot of people in it, different ages, different nationalities. And so, yes, it's been 3 years, 3 years now.
And growing.
And growing rapidly. And I hope that it spreads. I hope that it just doesn't stay in El Barrio. I hope it really, really spreads. That's part of why I started it. Somebody needs to start something like this, no?
What drew you to this movement? I know it started in the Netherlands mm-hmm. in 2010. How did you hear about it and what inspired you to take that step to launch the first repair cafe in New York City?
I think it was a combination of factors because first was it was personal, like my own personal story and where I was at. Also, inflation was really off the roof. And on top of that, I was just putting together a class in the subject of responsible consumption. I teach Spanish at Instituto Cervantes, but I teach to adults. And we are supposed to put together interesting and engaging concepts for the class to discuss. And as I was doing research for this class, I found about Repair Cafe. And as the class was happening, there was like a little voice in my head saying, this idea is wonderful. I wonder if there's one in New York City. So the class ended and I went to the website and I saw that there was no Repair Cafe in New York City. I wrote them. I told them it's just me and my sewing machine. Am I too crazy to start it? They were incredibly supportive. They gave me everything that I needed. The encouragement was enormous. They say you start it and they will come. It took a while for them to come, but they came, and it's what it is now. When I started Repair Cafe El Barrio, people told me, why don't you take the name New York? And I said, no, that's not accurate, first of all. I want all the repair cafes to happen, depending on the neighborhood where they are. But as an adopted child of Spanish Harlem, of El Barrio, I'm so proud as a Spanish-speaking person, too, to be here, because there is a history of community support and resilience in El Barrio, starting with Union Settlement. They've been here since the 1800s. They're still around. You see clinics. You see educational programs. I'm an alumni of one of their programs. And then the Young Lords. And for those who don't know the Young Lords, they were like the Puerto Rican chapter of the Black Panthers. And they did a lot for this community as long as they could in terms of like bringing awareness to the problems of sanitation and education and even feeding the community. So Art Space, it was started by an association called El Barrio Fight Back. It was meant to bring together the artists of the community and to keep them here because everybody was already looking for some other place or some other city to live in. Yeah, Art Space is doing a lot for the community as well. So for me, it's El Barrio. It's like, esta es mi casa.
You write, repair is what we do when we refuse to throw people, objects, or stories away.
Right. When I started Repair Café El Barrio, I was at my lowest. I was broken and broke. So I was at the end of a very traumatic, long relationship, and I was divorcing, which is not a fun thing to do. And so the way I resolve those moments of crisis, it's going back to my childhood and my memories in my childhood and where I felt safe. And where I felt safe in my childhood, I grew up in Spain in the 80s. So this is like the very start of democracy in Spain. Families had nothing. And repairing and being together and resolving each other's problems was like a daily practice. The problem of one person was the problem of everybody. So I said, listen, the best thing for me to do right now is to get out of my own mind, open the door of my apartment, which if I have any value today, like with this interview, is to inspire your listeners that anybody can do that. Open the door of your apartment and bring somebody in or go somewhere else. Just get together with people, make friends, you know, exchange stories, and who knows, but it worked for me. So Repair Café El Barrio has been my own healing story. That was a little bit like the emotional force for the project.
What I find interesting is that it's called Repair Café.
Yes.
And the expectation is that people who set up an appointment and come to Repair Café are going to bring an object to be repaired.
Yes.
And yet it seems like the objects themselves may not be the ultimate point of the café.
So it's not about perfection. It's about participation. You know, and I think that that's the point of being here, being with other people and learning something new. Like I was asking the students today at the new workshop, like, how do you feel when you're done with the thing that you figured out? And they say, oh, I feel great. I feel empowered. And in a way, that's what we're trying to inspire to the fact that when you can open a device, you're able to know what's wrong and you can fix it. Nothing beats that. You know, it's like it's a small step, but it's kind of like a radical form of resistance against a culture of disposability. Repair is not about nostalgia either. It's about creating an infrastructure for a future of resilience. So in a way, that's what we're trying to do. But whoever comes today and see the example of this is happening at this scale, then they can go home, then they can teach. So it can grow, but we definitely need to get together.
And we're back. If you are just tuning in, you're listening to Tectonic. My name is Mark Hurst. I'm your host. We are halfway through an audio segment that featured my visit to Repair Café El Barrio, located in East Harlem or Spanish Harlem in Upper Manhattan. Piece was recorded and produced by Todd Mazursky, so he was there as well. And as you just heard, I spoke with the founder of Repair Café El Barrio, Rocío Salceda, who was just so lovely and so inspiring and so full of good energy. I mean, I promised you good news at the top of the show, and here it is. There are people like Rocío Salceda in the world doing the work. And the repair coaches are there too, and the guests who are so full of energy. I'll have more to say about this after the segment. If you want links to the Repair Café, either in El Barrio or internationally, go to the Tectonic website, tectonic.fm, and click on the link for the Repair Café El Barrio episode, and you can dive in and learn more. Maybe start your own repair café. Let's go ahead now and listen to the second half of the audio segment of Repair Café El Barrio here on Tectonic. Back in the main room, we caught up with some of the guests who had brought in items for repair, starting with the woman with the heirloom lamp, the one that the lamp stores had told her to throw away.
They repaired it. It was absolutely awesome. I'm just thrilled. You have no idea. I'm just in ecstasy. The person who repaired it was meticulous, was knowledgeable. It's a complicated lamp, and the way he just took it apart and, you know, put it together, it's like it's brand new, like the piece was always there. I have to tell my friend who comes here and raved about it that, you know, it's exactly what you said. It was just a wonderful experience. It just makes you feel good when you walk out of here. Feel good moment. This is what today is.
I'm already thinking about how I'm going to call my mom and my sister and my friends, and I think there's lots of things I have, not just the toaster, and that they have that, with a little bit of help, are perfectly good and actually great. And there's an easy way to get it fixed.
Repair Coach Howie has been doing a great job.
Yeah, it's working great now. Can I say thank you?
Thank you.
Oh, it's so quiet. Say it louder. No? Okay.
They fixed it. It works perfectly. So I think I'm going to be a regular customer here from now on.
Can I see the drone? You have it in here?
Yes, of course.
He's taking it out of the bag.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I said.
And, oh, there it is.
And this is what was wrong. You see the camera there?
There's a camera.
So he reconnected. He put the new camera, connected the cable. But now, it works perfectly.
Now, Pablo, I understand that when you were here last time as a guest,
yes,
there was another guest who brought an object that you were able to repair on the spot. What happened there?
Yes, it was not the last time. It was this time.
Oh, it was today?
While I was waiting for the drone to be repaired, this lady was asking around who could fix her luggage. It's a roller luggage, and the handle broke off, and she couldn't pull it, no? So I was not doing nothing, just waiting for the drone to be fixed. So I said, you mind if I take a look at it? And I said, you know what? I think I have an idea how to fix it. So I said, if we drill a hole on the handle and put a pin, it will do the job. So she agreed, and we did it. We drilled the hole, put the pin, and now she walked away very happy with her rolling luggage.
What I love about this is that you showed up to get your object fixed.
Yes.
And while you're waiting, you ended up fixing someone else's object.
It's called pass it on. Yes. Yes. It feels good. It felt as good as being helped with the drone. It felt equally good to be able to repair somebody else's stuff.
I spoke with Ari Tabe, an artist and sewing expert who hosts workshops at the cafe.
I'm helping Rocio to develop our new educational programming. And I'm here to just give some ideas and promote some events. But we all work together, and we started to doing the two different types of workshops. I led the first one on art and fashion. I did experimental weaving class.
You taught an experimental weaving class?
Yes, but it's not that, you know, fancy. It's just that we made tapestry with hand, just cardboard weaving. So we each of us made a little tiny weaving, you know, 2 by 3, 3 by 4. And then also today we had the repair performance workshops. We had Roy. He is a computer science expert. He's a professor. He just showed us how to diagnose problems, what kind of tools we need to fix our broken small home appliances. It was very successful.
I then sat down with Roy Venegas, who had taught a workshop at the Repair Cafe earlier that morning. He explained his philosophy.
So there's an approach to repairing things. There's an approach to viewing objects in a certain way. And we live in a very throwaway capitalistic, hyper-capitalistic society where things are cheaper to replace than they are to repair. And we are encouraged, all of us, to replace them instead of repairing them. And I essentially discussed that if we create this new relationship with the objects that we own, we can keep them longer. When we fix the items that we own, we then create a bond with them that's different to saying, I'm going to go out and buy something. That's easy. Anyone with the means can go out and buy or replace something. Instead of defaulting to discarding, default to, let's see if we can get this fixed. Look at a repair cafe first. 9 times out of 10, we very likely find some way to fix it. If we look at objects as having two lives, the first life is its new life, this brand new shiny life. And if we take care of this object and we treat it with care and we treat it as though you can't replace it, even though you can, then it stays a long time in that first life. And then when it inevitably fails for some reason, then you have a new relationship with it because now it's in its second life. And that second life might mean it needs a new battery or it needs a zip tie to hold things together. And if you're willing to accept this second version of this, then you'll just keep it essentially forever. And I think with people who are like, I don't know what to do with this, get an expert opinion or a not-so-expert opinion. There are people in the repair cafe movement who are very much about keeping things out of a landfill. They'll find a way to say, we can do this, this, or this. It's going to look very weird, but if you're okay with that, then you still have your hand mixer.
It's just going to have an attachment at a weird angle.
Exactly, and an antenna or something else. There's a great sense of ownership and satisfaction when you open something up, when you fix it. You see it all the time. I'm an educator, and I see it in my students' faces when I'm trying to teach them a complex concept and they get it. Their faces just light up. Academic breakthrough. It's beautiful. And you see it in the faces of the people who come out. Just today, somebody said to me, this object belonged to my first boyfriend. And they didn't want to get it. I get emotional. So it's just nice. It's just nice to help people. I really like helping people. And with them today, just seeing them be so happy that it came back to life. Like, oh, this just brings me back 15 years ago, whatever it was, to their first partner. And you don't get that when you replace something. You get it when you repair something, when regardless of what the object is. It's one less thing in the environment. It's one less thing in the garbage. It's more money in your pocket. It's a little less contribution to greedy corporations. There's just a win-win. I can't see a negative to it.
You finished your presentation today with some tips. What are some suggestions you have for people who have some electronics that they feel like are not working as well as they once did, or maybe don't work at all?
If you look at a company like iFixit, which in the repair community, we just love them. Wonderful tutorials. They sell the parts that you need so you can keep things. Like my laptop is just shy of 10 years old. It's got speakers from iFixit. I mean, it sounds like I like an ad for them, but they're just a really good company, wonderful warranty. A lot of us who do this kind of work, we likely have gone to iFixit's website so that we can follow a guide to help us fix something else. There are scores that people give to items that need to be repaired, like how easy it is and so on.
Roy repairs music players, musical instruments, and he's a musician himself.
There's a new movement in the music industry with cassettes now, which is very strange. And
I fully support it.
I'm a vinyl person. That super hyper capitalistic business model from a company like Apple Music and Spotify, they're not paying their artists, right? So you go to places like Bandcamp, for example, right? I know it's weird to carry around an iPod, but I've never been one to care about what people's, how they perceive me. And it's my music that I own that is on a device that I'm not being tracked. I can listen to my music and not be disturbed by all the other notifications. I would not be surprised if a music player like the iPod made some sort of a comeback. Like we're seeing it in cassette players. The compact disc is getting a resurgence again. Like you don't own music when you stream it, right? So you don't get like the CD cover, you don't get the vinyl cover, you don't get to keep that music and make copies for yourself as a backup legally. When you stream music, you're being a burden on the internet. It's costing all this money and all this technology and power that's required to stream this. Meanwhile, it's just like on my player. Develop new relationships with your objects so that you can have more money to do fun things like traveling or spend time with your loved ones instead of having to buy a new this or a new that. And then you have a conversation piece to say, oh, wow, like whenever people see my iPod, oh, my God, what's that about? So, yeah, bring your things to any repair cafe and you'll walk away with an item that works, hopefully, and you've made new friends and have included yourself in the community.
Hey, why does your hand mixer have an antenna on it?
Exactly.
You should meet my new friend, Roy.
Ask me about my hand mixer with the antenna. It could be a t-shirt.
Again and again in my conversations with the repair coaches, they brought up the aspect of community. The people who were volunteering their time to repair broken objects kept telling me that there was something bigger, something more important about the repair cafe than just repair.
We're essentially doing community building. Be able to get together each month and then have some coffee, getting to know each other.
Community. If you take a look at the pictures of the places where they do this and the people doing things, I think community is a very, very big thing.
Anybody can come with an object, sit down, and start to finish, learn the process of repairing. But meanwhile, what's happening, and this is what is very important to me, is that there is this moment of connection, you know, in this exchange of ideas, of stories. So when you open an object, I say that you're opening your heart, really, to somebody else. And so this is like something that keeps me going. You know, because yes, you live with your fixed object, but you may live with a new friend.
I don't really think the technology or the repairs are the second or even third most important part about the repair cafe. It's on the list somewhere, but for me, numbers 1, 2, and 3 are all community related. I don't come here because it's really important to me that this kettle I found at a thrift store or in the trash is broken and I want to fix it. Like, what matters to me is to feel useful and to apply what I know to help someone else. I was in software for a while. I was doing work that was like supposed to be helping people, but the people were all somewhere else. And so I never really got to see the result of my work. I was being told that I was making people happier. But here, I get to take someone's 50-year-old tape recorder and fix it in front of them. And I get to see them have this moment where they're like, oh, this thing works again. And that makes me really happy.
These people will remember us, and we remember them. And they'll come back, and they'll go back and say, hey, look, they'll do this for free. And we want to come back, and we want to bring other people. And it's a nice space with nice people. Like, all the people who volunteer here, they're just really sweet, kind people. It takes a certain kind of person to say, I'm going to donate my time to help strangers who perhaps have less than me. Again, more of a win-win situation. So absolutely, community. I've only known these people a few months, and I've already established community just with the repair people. And then the people who are coming to the events as well. So yeah, again, more of the win-win.
Okay, one last question for Rocio.
Oh, go ahead.
A listener out there is interested in what you're saying. Maybe they're not ready to start their own repair cafe just yet. Yes. What's something they can do in their day-to-day life that will take a step towards that agency and community that you're after?
I'm the person always communicating with the guests. I can tell that they have something inside of them that is like bubbling, you know, and it doesn't need to be a repair cafe. They may say, no, but I don't have any skills with my hands, but it can be a listening party. Bring your friends, listen to music. Maybe you'll start a band, or, you know, you don't know. So I will tell them, just get together with other people. And there's a lot of really strong, amazing power that comes from being with strangers. I love the fact that I didn't know who was going to come. I didn't know who was going to sit with me, if I was going to agree with this person or not, if I was going to like this person or not. But I think that for people, just be open. You know, offline is the new online. No, al revés. Online, forget it. You need to be offline. You need to be offline. It's never perfect, but it's definitely a lot of fun.
And that again was my visit to Repair Cafe El Barrio here on Tectonic. And thanks again to Todd Mazursky for audio production of that piece. I thought it came out sounding excellent and really gave a sense of the experience that I had there at the gathering, both with the repair coaches and with the guests, and of course speaking with the great Rocio Salceda as well. I want to remind you that if you're interested in links to Repair Cafe El Barrio or the Repair Cafe global movement, you can find those links on the episode page at the Tectonic website, which is tectonic.fm, T-E-C-H, tonic.fm. But I feel strongly enough about giving the listeners those pointers. I'm going to read off the two key domain names. Repair Cafe El Barrio is repaircafeelbarrio.org. And if you're from New York, you probably know El Barrio is E-L-B-A-R-R-I-O, repaircafeelbarrio.org. And then the global Repair Cafe movement is located at repaircafe.org. And what you can do there, they have a map of the world, and you can click into your area or any area and see a list of the repair cafes that are present and active near you. And it's good news. I've been promising good news today. It's good news either way. If there is a repair cafe near you, then celebrate because you can bring in a broken item or a broken gadget or a ripped piece of clothing or what have you to the repair cafe and hopefully get it fixed, but definitely make a friend and build some community there. On the other hand, if the repaircafe.org map shows that there is not a repair cafe in your area, that's also good news because it's an opportunity for you or someone you know maybe to start a repair cafe just like Rocio did. As she said, she was in that, I'm sure if it was empty, it'd be a rather cavernous gallery space, just Rocio and her sewing machine. And after some time, it filled up and turned into that vibrant community that you heard. And I hope that the segment communicated to you somewhat of the how it felt being in there. I think it did, but I just want to underline it that you have to understand the amount of positive energy in the room. I mean, people were almost walking on air. The level of happiness or joy or engagement or connection or flow state or whatever was going on there, and I'm sure there were different varieties happening in the room, it was all positive and it was all 10 out of 10. I'm not hyperbolizing here. It really was an unusually positive feeling in that room. People were just beaming. I mean, the lady with the heirloom lamp, you heard her say, you know, the lamp store wanted me to buy a new lamp. It wanted me to throw this away. And here I brought it here and it got fixed. I'm going to tell all my friends, this is the greatest thing ever. And that sort of attitude was repeated again and again as we talked to guests who had had their objects repaired or fixed or sewn up or whatever it was before they left. They were just overjoyed with the whole experience. And that's why I wanted to bring up to Alec and maybe other repair coaches as I talk to them, do you think that there's something else going on here? Because people are so happy. It seems a little bit out of scale for, you know, a toaster oven. And indeed, as you heard Rocio and the repair coaches say, there is something much more important going on than simply repair of an object. It's community building. And you heard Rocio's final comment, which is we all have to be offline. We have to get together offline. And I think that is really what that experience was showing. I don't want to speak for Rocio or anyone else, but for me, that's what it was showing me, that there is real power in getting off of our devices, putting down the phone, turning off the social media, you know, and instead getting together offline with people to do something together that's positive, maybe helping someone else or helping another community and making friends along the way. And yes, actually, at the Repair Cafe El Barrio, there was actually coffee. So as someone said in the interviews we just heard, yes, you can grab a cup of coffee, you can grab a snack, and you can chat with people. And it's almost like a party. I mean, it's just all positive energy, which I'm underlining this because I want to set it up in contrast to so many of the other shows that I've presented you and that I have in the queue, get ready, to present to you in the future, which are painting such a different picture of what people's experience can be if they give up their autonomy and abdicate their role as human beings and get trapped by these Silicon Valley platforms. It's the exact opposite of the Repair Cafe. You know, instead of offline, it's all online. Instead of people connecting, it's people disconnected from each other and connecting only with an algorithm and being manipulated by an algorithm rather than learning something about how to repair their objects. They are actually suffering cognitive decline if they're using AI too much, as the research is showing us. I mean, the contrast is really striking. Also, the exchange of money. You know, the fact that we have to overpay for these big tech addictive surveillance devices that are built for us not to fix them for the most part. And they are built with planned obsolescence in mind so that we will throw them in the landfill and 6 months to 18 months later go out and buy the next greatest amazing upgrade that will last itself another 18 months. And then we have to go back again and pay the big tech company again. Whereas the Repair Cafe has the exact opposite approach. As Roy Venegas put it, your object can have two lives. One is the first service life before it needs any repairs, and then a second life that can last who knows how long, how many years of life having been fixed and maybe having a story and being a conversation piece. You know, as he said, maybe his hand blender has an antenna attached, and that becomes something that friends will note when they come over to his place. It's all good, and it's all free at the Repair Cafe. Of course, donations are accepted, but there is no fee for service at the Repair Cafe. So I think you can tell I'm pretty enthusiastic about this project, and I'm so happy to see that it's a global movement. It just makes so much sense that communities around the world would be setting this up. And finally, I love that it is in active opposition to the goals of the big tech billionaires to trap us and imprison us in their platforms and to have us paying them our attention and our money again and again and again forever. Instead, the Repair Cafe is free, it's liberatory, it's community-oriented, and it's better for the environment. So, what can we say? If you have an item that has some sort of repair needed, maybe it's broken, or maybe there is a piece loose, or maybe there is a rip in the jeans, or there is some other flaw, don't throw it away. Do not put it in the landfill. As much as I say throw your phone into the river, which I still say, but I mean that metaphorically, don't throw it into the local body of water. In fact, you might not even initially take it to the e-waste recycling facility, although that may be the best place for it, but you might first check if there's a repair cafe in your area, and if so, bring the object in and see if you can get that second life out of it and make some friends along the way. And I'm speaking to myself as much as anybody else. This is a good learning for me to remind myself, and next time there is some device or gadget or tool or something in my home that may need repair, the first thought has to be, is this a candidate for the Repair Cafe El Barrio? And if not, then we can look into recycling options. But if we have items, let's not throw them away. Let's not make that the first action that we take. I also liked how Alec, the repair coach, talked about that he feels he's working certainly against corporate trash, which is huge, but he's also working to address loneliness. And that's something that I think you could probably do a whole show on, the loneliness that is brought about by these platforms, these big tech Silicon Valley platforms, and getting people to repair objects and work within a community and make friends is a great way to combat the loneliness that is so endemic in our big tech dominated society. As Roy said, it's a throwaway society, and it shouldn't be. It shouldn't have to be. We can work on bringing things back to life. And it's not primarily about the objects. It's about the people. It's about the community. As Rocio said, there's power in being with strangers. And so we can start there. Let's get out and spend some intentional time in community with strangers, and soon enough, maybe they'll be friends. So that's the good news from Repair Cafe El Barrio. I hope you enjoyed the segment. I really enjoyed the site visit, the field recording, and being able to present that to you. And I, if you have an experience with a Repair Cafe in your community, I hope you will email me. I'm at mark@tectonic.fm, mark@tectonic.fm. Tell me, what was your experience with a Repair Cafe? Or if you ended up starting a Repair Cafe, please tell me that as well. I think this is the beginning of a conversation that we need to revisit from time to time here on Tectonic, because good news that is this good should not just get one mention in one episode. So thanks for your attention to this. I wanted to finish with a few words about a book that I read last year that spoke to this issue of, as Alec, repair coach Alec, put it, the problem of corporate trash. And it's a book, it's a 2025 book called Waste Wars: The Wild Afterlife of Your Trash. It's written by Alexander Clapp, that's C-L-A-P-P, and published by Little Brown. I'm hoping to have Alexander Clapp on the show at some point. I haven't been able to schedule this just yet. So in the meantime, since we're here talking about Repair Cafe El Barrio, I wanted to at least tee it up as a conversation that maybe we will continue on a subsequent episode to talk a little bit about this book, Waste Wars, which talks about the flow of trash from the wealthy Western world to other parts of the globe, and what some of the economic and political and social arrangements are, certainly what is the history that brought that about, and what are the effects of the waste being sent all over the place. But I just wanted to start with a couple of brief quotes from, it's either the introduction or the first chapter. It's early in the book as Clapp is setting up the context for why it's important for us to think about and to study the flow and the sheer scale of trash that is generated every day. So I'm going to read you two excerpts. Here's the first one again. This is from the book Waste Wars by Alexander Clapp. Here it is. In December 2020, Nature published a report detailing a cataclysmic shift in humanity's relationship with Earth. The total mass of the world's human-made objects, its authors explained, had come to equal the entire biomass of the planet itself. That is to say, the weight of everything created by our hands, skyscrapers, automobiles, iPads, plastic straws, was on the verge of exceeding that of all trees and all plants and all humans, and all animals. Indeed, the mass of all living things put together. Let's put it another way. You are currently living in a world in which the human ability to create garbage, or eventual garbage, has surpassed the Earth's ability to generate life. And again, that was from the book Waste Wars by Alexander Clapp. And that is quite a statistic, or quite a finding, that human-made materials, objects, you know, from straws to skyscrapers, now weigh more than all of the living organisms from an insect or a mouse up to the blue whale, everything in between. The human-made materials now outweigh the living items. And should we celebrate that? I mean, by itself, perhaps it's not a huge problem. I mean, if we're deploying the human-made resources in the right ways. But in fact, as my next quote shows, that's not the outcome, unfortunately. So when you hear this next quote, it's going to put the first quote in stark relief. You're going to understand why it's important for us to keep in mind the sheer scale of what we've made. Here's the second quote that I wanted to share from Waste Wars by Alexander Clapp. The global balance sheet of trash today is astronomical. Humans currently manufacture their own weight in new stuff every week, only about 1% of which has been estimated throughout the world to be in use 6 months after its purchase. Every day, the world discards 1.5 billion plastic cups, 250 million pounds of clothes, 220 million aluminum cans, 3 million tires. In the ocean alone, per every human, there exist 21,000 pieces of plastic, a net mass of shopping bags and six-pack rings and bottle caps that by the year 2050 will exceed the weight of all fish put together and is expected to double every 6 years for the foreseeable future. Meanwhile, in just the minute it took you to read this paragraph, another million plastic bottles have been discarded, and another garbage truck full of plastic has entered the seas. And again, that's from Waste Wars, The Wild Afterlife of Your Trash by Alexander Clapp. I'm sorry, I did promise good news. I feel like you got a good dose of good news up until this point. But I felt as important for us, as we're talking about repair cafes, to understand the scale of the problem that we're trying to address, or at least that we should be aware of, however we choose to address it or not. We should at least, you know, it always starts with awareness, as I like to say. The solution, whatever it emerges, it always starts with awareness of what the problem is. And here Alexander Clapp is saying it very clearly. You know, every day the world discards 1.5 billion plastic cups, 220 million aluminum cans, and 250 million pounds of clothes. That one is a real shock. Every day, 250 million pounds of clothes, many of which, by the way, he does a whole chapter in West Africa. There are places in Ghana that become the receptacles of this waste, and as you might imagine, it has huge environmental and social effects on the communities there. As I say, I hope to get to an episode that goes a little bit deeper into this book in the future, but I wanted to end with these statistics so that we can see really what a heroic job people at repair cafes are doing, because they are trying to both reduce the amount of trash that goes into landfills, but also, more importantly, build better communities where people are less likely to become lonely and decide to go out and buy something they don't need in order to, you know, fill some sort of emotional hole, and that will probably find its way into a landfill, as the book said, maybe within 6 months. And that certainly goes for big tech addiction and surveillance devices. There is no reason for anyone to go out and buy, just to take a random example, a big tech surveillance puck, which really would probably be better with a baseball bat turned onto it before that goes to the e-waste recycling facility. But for previous generations of big tech devices, I mean, you could think of the non-surveilling original iPods. You know, those might be a good candidate to bring into a repair cafe. And together with these communities, these repair cafes around the world are showing the way that we are eventually going to win. We are eventually going to win, and that is the good news, friends. So I hope that this episode has both given you some awareness about the real issues that people are facing, but also the opportunity we have to do something better. Thanks to Repair Cafe El Barrio, Rocio Sauceda, and all the repair coaches for spending time with us. And that is about all the time I have today. You are listening to the greatest radio station in the world, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Stay tuned for Dave Mandel and It's Complicated. And until next time, friends, I have a little bit of homework. I want you to avoid Apple, abandon Amazon, forget Facebook, and whatever you do, get off Google. And I thought we'd finish the show with a song from a more innocent time when the internet wasn't quite so dystopian. I hope you enjoy it. See you next time.
Yes, indeed. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of It's Complicated, the radio show that brings you four times as many notes per hour as any other show here at FMU. I'm your host, Dave Mandel, thrilled, as always, to be here spinning the big hits for you. And we're going to start tonight's show with an English group. They're from London. And they're called Lost Crowns. Pardon me while I try to remember what I'm doing here. And we're going to hear a track from a release that came out that they put out in 2019. It's called Every Night Something Happens. And maybe just because they're from London, that sort of planted this idea in my mind. But they sound a lot to me, not a lot, they sound similar. They evoke the group The Work, also based in London. You decide. This is going to be a track called Housemaid's Knees. Again, this is the group Lost Crowns. Wait, what? Hold on a second.
see.